So we've been going through a series, right? We've been doing this series called Follow. We've been going through a series called Follow. We're examining what it looks like to follow Christ in our lives. And this is an important question. It's maybe not just an important question. This is the question of what it means to follow Christ. Because as we talked about in the first week, this is what being a Christian is all about. This is the point of the gospel. Jesus' call in our life isn't just a call to have your sins forgiven and go to heaven. It's a call to follow him. And if we're going to call ourselves Christians, what's involved with being a Christian is following Christ. And somewhere along the line, I think we kind of got it backwards. We thought being a Christian meant having your sins forgiven, go to heaven. That's the requirement. And then everything on top of that is like extra credit, bonus. Like Christianity 101 is getting forgiven, and then Christianity 201, 301, 401, that's following. That's the extra, that's the more advanced sort of stuff. But that's not how the Bible talks about it. As we talked to the first week, following him isn't some optional extra thing. It is the thing. It's the distinguishing mark of a Christian, is being a follower of Jesus Christ. So we've been wrestling with that question. What does it look like to follow him? Not as like, oh, I'm going to decide if I want to do that or not. But no, this is what it's about. This is the thing. This is not the next step. This is the step. All right? So this is so it's an important issue, important question that we're wrestling with, is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, about following Christ. And then last week we talked about, in following him, it's kind of like it's a light switch, right, that we do, right? It's something that we do. It's you either doing it or not. But it's not as simple as just an on-off switch. It's kind of like a dimmer switch, right? There's a process to this. There's degrees of following, and that we need to be constantly progressing in this process of following Christ, that we need to be becoming more and more followers of Christ and putting more and more of our lives into following him. And this is something that's a process that we're all in. And now today, we're taking it the next step. We're going to talk about today, we're identifying the biggest enemy you got in following him. You're saying, yeah, Tom, count me in. I want to follow Christ. I'm going to be a follower of Christ. I realize that. I've just been, I got my sins forgiven, and then I'm just like doing my thing, and I realize it's about more than that. It's about being a follower of him. I want to be a follower of him. Well, you need to know about this enemy. If you're going to follow him, there's an enemy you're going to face, and this enemy is in opposition to you, and it's going to try to knock you off your path of following him. That enemy, the enemy of following Christ, is fear. It's fear. A fear of what might happen, right? If I say yes to following Christ, fear of where that may take me, right? Fear of what could happen in my life. Fear of things I may have to give up. Fear of changes that may come from that. Fear that my life may look worse than it looks now, right? And fear, if we're honest with ourselves, fear drives most all of our decisions, right? That when we're choosing things, we're making choices in life, most of them are motivated by fear. Like we're running from fear. Right, when we're making decisions, we're like processing probability and stuff like that of what could come of this. If I take this job or that job, we're like trying to think, well, what could go wrong? And if I'm trying to do this or that, what could go wrong in this? And we're trying to, you know, we're agents of comfort, right? We're creatures of comfort, so we fear discomfort. So most of our decisions, we're trying to avoid discomfort. We're trying to move away from that fear. And the problem is we take that same mentality into our relationship with God and what it looks like to follow him. And then we too often let our fear limit where we'll follow him, limit us in our following of Christ. All right. Like if the possible roads, the possibilities are infinite in front of me. Right. If these are the infinite possibilities, if I go this way or that way or this way or that way in life, we tend, because of fear, we limit where we'll follow God. Well, I got all these things straight up in my life. I don't want to give up that or this or this. Or if I go that road, it could be bad, or this could lead down something I'm not up for. Therefore, Jesus, I'll follow you as long as it's between. But out there, no way. Out there, no way. And we let fear limit where we'll follow Christ and limits us in our following. Our foundational truth this morning, our starting point, and this is your first fill in the blank. If you like to do fill in the blanks, this is your first one this morning. Our starting point, our foundational truth that we're going to build on is this. Being a follower of Christ includes following into fear. Being a follower of Christ includes following into fear. In our lives, we're often moving from fear, right? And if we think there's a chance of something bad going to happen, I'm going to go a different way from that, right? That's how we generally do things. But being a follower of Christ means being willing to follow into fear. And we're going to see this in our central passage today, and that's in Matthew chapter 10. So if you've got Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 10. This is our main passage. We're going to be looking at a few passages today, but this is our main one. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, starting at verse 16. And if you don't have a Bible, there's some paperback Bibles in the pews. And if it's a gray one that says, what does it say? It's got a tree on the front. No tree. It says Holy Bible. If you see that Bible and you don't have one, Happy New Day. You got a Bible. That one's yours. All right. You can take it, put your name in it, take it home, bring it back next Sunday. Just use that as your Bible. Okay. So Matthew 10, chapter 16, what's going on here? Jesus is getting ready to send out his disciples. He's got 12 followers of his that are really close to him. He's been pouring into. They've been hanging out with him. And he says, all right, boys, it's time to get to work. Following me is going to look a little different. We're going to go out. You guys are going to go out. And he sends them out to do ministry. And he lays out instructions for them about what they're going to do, what they're supposed to say, what they're supposed to bring with them, where they're supposed to go. He gives them all these details. But there's something going to be a little different about this trip that he's sending them out on. Because up to this point, being a follower of Jesus was actually pretty cool. It was a not a bad deal. It'd be like being a follower of the Beatles in the 60s. I mean, there was like crowds around them all the time. They were all, everybody was about Jesus because he's doing these miracles. He's real popular and crowds. And the closer you get to Jesus, the better it was. And so the disciples were his closest companions, right? So they were kind of in on this, the goods, right? They were in the center of the crowd and everybody's coming at them in a good way. And it was nice being a Christian. It was a good deal being one of his disciples. Well, that's about to change. And he says, as you go out, things are actually going to start to get, it's going to get tough now. Bad things are going to happen. All right, he tells them that. So that's what we're going to look at together here in Matthew 10, starting at verse 16 is where we're going to look at it. But as he's sending out his 12 disciples, Matthew 10, starting at verse 16. Jesus says to him, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Uh-oh, that's a bad start, right? Wait, I know what sheep do. I know what wolves do. I know what they do together. That's not good. Okay. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. What? Verse 18, on my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. He said, hey, you guys, you're going to be going out there. Follow me. It's going to look a little different. I want you to go out to these places. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to get arrested. You're going to get brought before the judge. He's going to find you guilty. And you're going to get flogged and beat up and whipped. And that's real deal. I mean, this is real. We don't do floggings in Long Beach. Praise the Lord, right? This is serious deal. People die from this. All right, and you got those marks the rest of your life. All right, this is real deal. Hardships are coming. Okay, so he says things are about to get real tough. All right, verse 19. But when they arrest you, notice that. Not he didn't say if they arrest you. Here's what you're going to do. He says. When they arrest you, this is going to happen. So he's saying this is going to happen. It's not if this happens. Here's what you do. He says, when they arrest you, these bad things are going to happen. All right. Verse 19, but when they arrest you, do not worry. When they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So he says, when you get arrested, all this bad stuff's going to happen. You're going to get arrested, you're going to get beaten, you're going to get flogged. But don't worry. Don't fear. You don't got to be afraid. And the reason you don't got to be afraid, because your Father is going to be with you. He's going to be seeing you through this thing. No, he says, he will give you the words to say. I wish it said, he will not let this happen to you, right? He will intervene and pull you out of that, but he doesn't say that, right? He says, but in the midst of that, he says, don't fear because the Heavenly Father, your Father, the Spirit of your Father will be with you. Don't worry about what you're going to say because he's going to give you the words to say. So he says, don't fear because he will see you through that. His presence will be there with you. As you follow him and find yourself in this difficult mess, this horrible thing that you would have every right to fear, he says, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't worry because your Heavenly Father will be with you. He's going to see you through that. Verse 21. He continues on. It gets worse. Notice all these close relationships start getting broken. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. This is going to get ugly. Verse 22. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. He says, it's going to get so bad. Family members is going to be turning on family members. It's going to be, you're going to be hated by everybody. Like right now, you're real popular. you're going to be hated. You're going to be hated by everyone. It's going to get bad. And then he says, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. He says, in the midst of that, I expect you as my followers, it's going to get ugly, but I expect you to not let fear limit where you'll follow me. Don't be afraid of that thing that could happen. I still expect you to follow me. If you're my disciple, if you're my follower, I want you. That's not a reason to get out. I expect you. Those who stand firm to the end will be saved. He said, not just an expectation, but a requirement. Like, this is what I expect you to do, that you will follow me even into fear. Even when following me is going to lead to something that you don't want to happen, I expect you to follow me. That's the expectation of you as my follower. Thank you for saying amen. I thought I was going to hear this. Oh, boy. This is no good. Continues on in verse 26, talking to these guys. And he says to them, don't be afraid of them. He leads off, don't be afraid of them. Talking about the authorities, the kings, the judge, the rulers, the human authorities. He says, don't be afraid of those guys. Because Jesus correctly identifies that the biggest enemy that these guys are going to face is going to be fear, right? He says, don't be afraid of those guys. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen. We got to deal with that fear thing. And don't fear. Yes, it's not going to be what you want it to happen, but don't fear. And then he continues on and tells us why. He gives us two reasons not to fear, starting in verse 28. Let's skip down a couple of verses. He gives us two reasons of why we don't have to be afraid when we're following Jesus. This is what he says in verse 28. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but not kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who could destroy both body and both soul and body in hell. So it says, check this out. Don't be afraid of those guys. It looks like they got authority. The ruler, the guy on the throne, the king, the Roman general, the police chief. He said, "Don't fear those guys. Yeah, they can hurt the body, but they're not the real authority." They say there is a lot bigger authority than them. That they may look like they're sitting on a throne and they have authority. They don't have true authority. There's another one who's got true authority, and that's your heavenly Father, right? So he says, you don't have to fear, because he points out, he says, God is way bigger than all that. He's way bigger than them. So the first reason he says not to fear, because we got to remember God's power. It may feel like you're in a situation and you may be going down a road that you know Jesus is asking you to go down. You may be looking at circumstances and say, this is not going well. This is going to be bad for me. I don't want to go down this road because I see what this is going to do for my job. I can see how this is going and that promotion I so want to happen. I see where this is going. I can see where this is going and that's the relationship, where this is taking me, and I don't like where this is going by following Jesus. And it can feel like these people have authority over you. But no, there's one that's got true authority, and that's God the Father, right? And notice he says, don't fear the ones who can hurt the body. Fear the one who can hurt the body and soul. Now, I don't think we should just take that as, hey, don't fear them. You got bigger problems. Woo! You know, like, we need to fear God in that way. But it does bring up a point. Isn't it interesting? Don't you find it interesting that we are so willing to say no to God because we fear man's consequences, right? We'll say no to God because we fear the man's consequences. But yet, we often won't say no to man because we forget about God's consequences. Isn't that interesting that we're so willing to bend what we want or what we know we should do to because of man's consequences? So, hey, remember, there's a true authority that we need to listen to. Now, you could take that and say, okay, I don't know, because, God's on the throne, God's all-powerful, so I shouldn't fear, but what if God's a big jerk? Right? What if, right? Just because God, that doesn't mean that's not a reason not to fear, because if God's on the throne and God's a big jerk and he's going to use me up and spit me out, that's a reason to fear, right? If God's a big jerk, right? So he continues. Jesus knows this, I think. He's pretty smart, right? So as he's talking, he says, hey, there's a bigger authority going on. Then he continues. Now check this out. He continues. Okay, so verse 28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside of your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than any sparrows. So Jesus then takes it and says, he says, hey, don't just fear man. You got big, God's the one we need to fear. But then he takes it to another level. He says, and remember how much God loves you. how important you are to God, how valued you are to God. So the first reason not to fear is because of God's power. We know he is on the throne. Nothing happens outside of his control. But second reason we can fear when we cannot fear when following Christ is because of God's love. God's love for us, all right? And that's important. He says right there that two sparrows, you know, those are like the little birds that you can get any old where they're like flying around. They have no value, he says. They'd be like here. If he was writing this in Long Beach, he'd be like two pigeons, right? We got pigeons everywhere. You know, our version, our hood pigeons, you know, that they're tough pigeons. You can drive right by in your car. There's Aiko's line. Like, you drive right by in your car, and they don't even back up. They just, like, stand like this. You drive right by. We got tough pigeons here. They're pigeons everywhere, right? They're pretty much like rats with wings. And he said, even two pigeons, nothing happens to a pigeon outside of God's care. That God loves and cares for the pigeons. Now, how much more valuable are you than that hood winged rat, right? That you are so much more valuable to God. You matter to God so much so he knows everything about you, even the number of hairs on your head, right? Even for a guy like me, that number changes daily, that he still keeps track of how many hairs are on your head, that he knows everything about you. He knows all the details, all your hopes and dreams, even more than you know about yourself. He cares about you. You matter. You are not something for him to throw away and use up. Instead, you matter. He values you so dearly. He loves you. So we cannot fear when we're following Jesus. Even though it may look, we're going to go down some roads, there may be some things that we're not comfortable with, right? These guys are getting arrested and beaten up and flogged and all that. He says, don't be afraid, because God's the ultimate power. God's in control. And God loves you dearly. Okay? And God loves you dearly. So this is important for us to know as we seek to follow Christ, right? That as we do this, we can know that he's looking out for us, right? That he cares for us. He's all powerful. He's in control. And as we follow him, he's looking out for us, that he loves us, that this matters to him, all right? So and in this, Jesus takes us to a place where our faith in God is so big that we do not fear. He takes us to a place where our faith in God is so big that we do not fear. That when we can follow him, free of fear. So that's our main point I want to get across this morning. Our main point is this. This is our central truth, main point. The thing that we're, our central thing this morning is this. Following Jesus produces in us a faith that overwhelms fear. A faith that overwhelms fear. Now, I'm not saying there's not going to be anything to fear, but following Jesus produces in us a faith that overwhelms fear. Jesus doesn't say, do not be afraid because I will never let anything bad happen to you. He didn't say that. But he does say, do not fear when bad things happen to you. Why? Because when we're following him, we can have faith in God's power and his love. Now, just think if what we could do if we really understood this, if we truly understood that our faith that God that Jesus builds in us as we follow him, a faith that can overwhelm fear. My experience, whenever Jesus asked me to do something, and it's not like burning bush, right? It's more, you sense it, you know, right? You know that you know. You know what I'm talking about? Hopefully you've had that experience. Like you hear, you just know God's asking you to do something. And generally it goes like this. God's asking me to do something. And I go, no, that can't be right. And he asked me again. I said, really? And then I, if it's a big decision, I'll sit down and make a pro-con list, right? About whether this will work or not. And every time, the con list is bigger than the pro list. This has been my experience. Pro list, here's why it'll work. Con list, here's why it won't work. And the con list is all based on fear, right? About what could go wrong. Now, just think. If faith could erase that con list, right? That faith, even in the midst, when that con list is big and we have every reason to fear, that we can have a faith that overwhelms that con list, that it could erase that con list, that when it's a balancing act like this and it feels like there's a lot more cons, that the faith could overwhelm that, could deal with that column in my little list, all right? Could deal with that cons column, the reasons, the things that could go wrong, if my faith could deal with that. And we see this all through Scripture, that faith is our reason not to fear. That faith is a reason Jesus gives us not to fear when following him. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells the crowds, he says, hey, listen, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about the roof over your head. Don't worry about all your needs. Don't worry about all that stuff. That's what we worry about, right? That's the biggest fear we probably face, right? It's our needs won't be met. We worry about our needs. He says, hey, don't worry about all that stuff. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need that. He knows that you need it. He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. He says, so don't worry about all those things, all those needs that you have. God knows that you need them. Have faith. Just follow after Him. Have faith, and He will meet those things. All right? So a faith overwhelming fear. Mark chapter 4, Jesus takes His disciples out on a boat. They're going out in the Sea of Galilee, and we think sea, and we picture like a lake, right? This is sea. This is picture ocean. You can't see either side. Okay, this is out there. He takes them out in this boat. Jesus takes a nap. Storm comes. Big old storm starts rolling in. Disciples are freaking out, like super fear. And they literally, in the original language, how it reads, they're waking Jesus up and says, "You gotta save us. What are you sleeping?" He says, "We are perishing to death. We are perishing to death." So these guys are freaking out. And Jesus wakes up, rolls his eyes. I put that part in. I don't know if he rolled his eyes. He wakes up, calms the storm, turns to them in Mark 4, verse 40. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Again, faith is the answer to fear. That they were afraid, and he sees their fear and says, well, clearly you didn't have faith. Because faith is the answer to fear. And then after he did that, then it said they were terrified. After that, they're terrified and said, who is this? Holy cow. Remember, don't fear Him who can hurt the body, but fear Him who hurts the body and soul, all of it, right? So they got a glimpse of who God really is, right? So then they were really terrified, but of God. Matthew 14. Peter, they're out in a boat. Jesus walking out on the water. Peter says, "Wow, Jesus! Whoa, cool! Look over here!" And then Jesus says, "Come out, walk on the water, walk to me." So Peter gets out of the boat. He's walking on the water. Everything's going good. Then he sees the waves and the wind. He gets afraid. Starts to sink. Jesus rolls his eyes, reaches down, helps him out of the water, puts him back in the boat, and he says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you fear? Right? Why did you doubt?" Because again, the faith is the answer to the fear, right? He saw that Jesus recognized that when there's fear, the problem is a lack of faith. Romans 8:28, Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. And this is at a time when you do not want to be a Christian in Rome, right? A lot of hard things going on, a lot of persecution, a lot of trials. So Paul is writing to them and tells them in Romans 8:28, he says to them, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who've been called according to His purposes." He says, all things work for good, all right? He didn't say all things are good. He could tell you from experience. He'd been arrested, beaten up. He'd been flogged, been whipped 40 minus 1, because 40 is death. So 40 minus 1 is they're trying to get you as close to death as they can. Had that happen a few times, and he'd experienced all this. And then yet he can say, you know, in his true experience, he says, "Hey, I can tell you, man, it all works out for good. God works it all out for good, all things, the good things and the bad things. Not that bad things won't happen. He can work them all things for good." Again, a faith in God, and faith in God's power, and a faith in God's love that overwhelms fear of all these things that can happen. Okay, so reality time. You guys ready? Reality time? You guys believe what I said, right? You guys believe that? I hope you believe that. Everybody in this room, I bet, has a belief. Because you're in the room today, I bet you believe that God is all-powerful and that God loves you. You believe those things to be true. Yet the reality is, despite believing those things, you and I, we still live in fear. Fear is a reality we face in life. We shouldn't, because we believe God's power and God's love, but yet we still fear. And that's what I want to camp on, end our time on today, is this. The reason we still experience fear is this. There's a catch. There's a catch in this. This is only experienced while we follow. This is only experienced while we follow. This freedom from fear, this faith that overwhelms fear, is experienced while we follow. I think the reason we experience fear in life, even though we know that God's all-powerful, we know that God is loving, the reason we experience fear is because we know deep down we are not truly following Him. And we know that, hey, I know God, if it's God's plan, I know that He knows His power, He's all-powerful, His plan is best because He loves me. So if I'm on God's plan, then I cannot fear. But deep down, we know I'm working my plan. I'm not really following him with my life. I'm following me. I'm following my own desires. I'm following my own hopes and dreams. I'm following my own selfish interests. Now, God gets a voice in that. He's my top advisor, right? Because when I want what I want, he knows best what I want, so he can give it to me even best. He's my best tool in my plan to get what I want. So God gets a voice. He gets to hear. And if it's something I like, I follow. If it's something that may lead to fear, I dismiss. And when we don't follow, when we're not following him, we miss out on this benefit of being able to rest in his power and his goodness and his love for us. Because I'm in charge of my own life, then whose responsibility is it to make it go okay? My job, right? If I'm in the charge of me and I'm doing me, then it's my job to make sure everything goes right with me. And if it's my job, well, I darn well better stress and fear about it because it's on me to fix it, right? But because we don't follow him fully, when we follow him fully, we can rest. And he's all powerful. He's on the throne. There's something bigger than all this going on. He knows what he's doing. And I can rest in knowing that he loves me. I don't have to fear. These passages we just went over today, these wonderful passages of reasons not to fear, every single one of them has a qualifier on them. You guys catch it? Check these out, these qualifiers. Matthew chapter 10 that we looked at, the first one we spent our time with, when he says, I'm sending you out. As you go and follow me, you're going to face this persecution. But don't fear, don't worry, because as you're facing this persecution and following me, God will give you what to say. You don't have to worry about what to say. God will handle it. He is with you in this, all right? Notice, this is coming as they were facing persecution from following him, okay? We'd love to look at that verse and say, well, I don't got to worry about what to say because God will give me the words to say. And we use that as a reason why we don't have to get nervous from going and talk to that girl that we want to hook up with that you got no business hooking up with, right? That God will give me the words to say. We think God will give me the words. I don't need to fear when I get pulled over for that speeding ticket that I know I deserve. God will give me the words to say. It's not saying that, right? God will give me the words to say when I go in front of my boss, when I get that promotion that I want so dearly. Not there's anything wrong with a promotion, but we know that it's our plan, not his plan. We can't just use these verses and say, I don't have to fear because God will give me the words to say. It doesn't say that. It's saying as we follow Christ, as we following him, and these hardships come, in the midst of that, you don't got to fear. But it doesn't say that we just go live any old way and do our thing and just do me all the time, and then I don't got to fear. No, guess what? You do got to fear, all right? Is that bad news? We're getting the good news. All right, we're getting the good news. Matthew chapter 6, he says, right, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about where you're going to lay your head. Don't worry about all this stuff, your job. Don't worry about all these things. God knows that you need this stuff. But then he says, what do? Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and then he'll take care of all that stuff. You and me, we think, I can just live any old way. I can seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and then I shouldn't have to fear because God says he meets all my needs. No, he didn't. Right? He didn't say that. He says, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and then let me take care of that stuff. And you don't got to fear. The reason we fear is because we're seeking our own kingdom, our own righteousness. We're still living in fear. Mark chapter 4, Jesus calming the storm, the whole thing. I didn't read that who got them out on that boat with Jesus. They're on the shore, and Jesus says, come on, boys, let's get in the boat. We're going to go on a ride. And they followed Jesus out in that boat, right? When Peter saw Jesus walk on the water, Jesus called to him, Peter, come out of that boat. They were following Jesus when these things happened. And he said, don't fear because they were following Jesus. Again, this isn't just I don't have to fear because God will get me out of any old mess I get myself into. No, this is talking specifically about when we're following him and hardships come, we don't have to fear, right? Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. We like saying, well, God will work everything out. I'm not going to fear anything bad because anything that happens, God will work for good. Wait, let's read it again. God will work all things for good for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. All right, we talked in week one that calling is a call to follow him. That as he calls us to follow him and we answer that call and we are following him, he works it all out. Now, is everything going to be good? Of course not. But in the midst of those hard things that come, we're freed from fear. We can have a faith that overwhelms fear. You guys understand the difference here, the distinction I'm making? And I think it's so important. The reason that we experience this fear is because we're not really following him. And because it's still on our shoulders, then we experience that fear. Okay, now if you've been listening very carefully, You're thinking, Tom, I caught you. You got it wrong. Check this out. First you said that it takes faith in God to follow into fear. You said that. And now you're saying that as we follow into fear, it builds faith. Wait, it takes faith to be able to follow into fear, and as we fall into fear, it builds faith? Well, which is it? You said it both ways. Caught you. It can't be both ways. Which way is it? Chicken or the egg, man? Chicken or the egg? It is both ways. Okay? Kind of like lifting weights. It takes muscle to lift weights. As you lift weights, you build muscle. How can that be? What a quandary. How can you do? No, we know how you lift, how you build it. You lift weights to build muscle, and as you build muscle, you build muscle, right? Did I say that backwards? You guys don't understand what I'm saying, right? Same thing with our faith, all right? It takes faith to step out into fear, to follow God into fear. And then as we follow God into fear, it builds our faith, okay? It's a process. This is a thing that's happening. Just like lifting weights. If I walked up here and you put 500 pounds and you want me to just go, I could not do that, right? Because it's a process building that up. But 22 pounds, oh yeah, I'm just, you know, no problem, right? Because it takes a while to build that, right? It's a process. We see this from the disciples, that early on, they're following Jesus. When it came down to crunch time, Jesus gets arrested, he gets beaten up, going to get thrown on the cross. Where were the disciples? Time to follow into fear, boys, time to step up. Man, they went low. Right, they got out of town. They went and hid. They were not ready to follow into fear. All right, but by the end of their lives, they were saying, "Hey, man, first nail right there. Go ahead. Second nail is going to go right over here. We're doing this together. I'm doing just like Jesus." All right, and they're ready to give up their life for Him, following into fear. It's a process. This is something that grows as we continually do. It's a process that we need to engage in. The problem that we face is most of us are so afraid of that process, so afraid of stepping out into fear, we won't get into that process. So I want to challenge you to follow Jesus into fear. When you look and say, oh, I know what Jesus is asking me to do. I know where this is going, and I'm afraid of what could happen. I'm afraid of what this could do for my career. I'm afraid that he may... I know I got that savings account. Man, that's going to get me through when I retire. I know he may want to touch that savings account, right? I know he may want me to, this relationship that I know ain't right, but I like it. He may want me to do something with that, right? He may want me to go talk to that person, right? To be bold and talking to this person that I really don't want to talk to, and that may go really bad, right? There's going to be things he's going to ask us to do, and fear stops us. I challenge you to experience the freedom of fear, right? To follow him. As we're following him, then you can be free of that fear. Because if he's truly asking you to do it, our faith that God is all-powerful and that he loves us can overwhelm that fear. And I know it's a process. For me, it was a baby steps, all right? So I encourage you to get involved in that process. But the good news, you guys ready for some good news? Here's the good news. The gospel's good news, all right? None of this was bad news. It's good news, right? Here's the good news. Ready for some good news? Jesus' invitation to follow him, it's still good. It's still good. It's not too late. You can experience this for yourself. Jesus' invitation to follow him is still good. Now, I'm not talking about confess your sins and be forgiven and going to heaven. I'm talking about following him, even when it's hard, especially when it's hard. What does this look like? We're going to end with one last passage. Turn over to John, the very end of John. Where does it end at? 21, I think. Yeah, John 21. You guys got to see this. This is Peter himself. John 21, starting at verse 15. Peter's denied Jesus in glorious fashion. He denied him to a little girl. He denied him to these people that are out to arrest him. He denied him 3 different times. Said, hey, after Jesus got arrested, they came at him and said, hey, aren't you Peter? Aren't you one of his dudes? And he says, no, that's not me. And he denies Jesus, all right? So he stopped following. He had allowed fear to stop him from following Jesus, all right? That was Peter's issue. Fear had him stopping following with Jesus, all right? Fear stopped him. So same thing as you and me, all right? If fear has stopped you from following Jesus, fear of where it may go, you're not alone. Peter been there. Check out how Jesus handled Peter. 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, this is Jesus after he's been resurrected, he's meeting with Peter. So 21, starting at verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John. No, check this out. Simon was his name before he met Jesus, right? And then when Jesus met him, he said, now your name's Peter, because you're one of mine. So now when he says, hey, Simon, right? There's something in there. Yeah, you catch that? There's something in there where he says, hey, Simon. Peter had to go like, ooh, wow. He knew he hadn't been following him because of fear. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Talking about the fish. He'd gone back to fishing. Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Verse 17, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Why do you think he asked him three times? Because he rejected him three times. It reminded him how he stopped following Jesus because of fear, right? Three times he'd rejected him. Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. And in that moment, Jesus restored Peter, right? Peter said, Peter acknowledged, I haven't been following you. I've been afraid. I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't know what was going to happen. I stopped. And he kept asking, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter's like, of course I love you. That never changed, right? You love God. I hope you love God, right? That didn't change. But the fear is what stopped him. And so he restores him. He says, okay, here's what's going to happen, though. You're not off the hook. Follow me. We're going to die together. I'm going to ask everything of you. Not, hey, Peter, you got nothing to be afraid of, man. It's all good, man. Nothing bad going to happen. He didn't say that. He said, you love me? Yeah. He said, okay, come on, follow me. And he told him about how he's going to die, right? So bad thing is still going to happen. But he says, but the expectation on us is to follow him and to follow him. And I guarantee Peter at the end of his life was so glad he said yes at that moment. Like, so glad he said, count me in. You know that I love you. Because he followed him. Did everything work out like you and I would want it? Would we choose that life? Of course not. But we would choose it for God, right? I hope you would. So for you and me, it's not too late to follow him. Maybe you love God. Maybe you followed him in the past. But maybe fear has stopped you from following him fully. We're going to end this morning with a time of repentance, of acknowledging before God, if you need to, that, hey, I've stopped following you. And this isn't repentance as, oh, I look at bad stuff on my computer, or I have been smoking that stuff, I shouldn't smoke, or I talk bad, I need to stop doing it. Usually repentance we talk about confessing a sin and turning from that sin. I'm going deeper than that. I'm saying confessing, I haven't been following, and I want to follow. I want to follow. So that's you today. I'm going to ask everyone today, bow your heads right now, right where you're sitting. Bow your head, close your eyes, nobody's looking around, just me. You're going to be tempted to look. Don't look. All right? It's just you and God. No one else in the room. You and God. Have you stopped following him? Are you ready today to say, man, I let fear knock me off on you. God, I want to follow you even in the midst of fear. If that's you today, slip your hand in the air. I want to pray for you. Just slip it up. If you want to do it low, that's fine. I want to pray for you today. I see all the hands. I see the hands. I want to pray for you. If you say, man, I'm tired of this fear. I want to be right where God wants me because I know he's powerful. I know he's loving. If that's you, get that hand in the air. I want to pray for you. All right. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to be praying up here. And I ask you to join me. Pray along in your own. Follow me in your own mind. And if you didn't get your hand up, there's nothing about the hand. It's just about you and your heart. All right. Let's pray. Let's pray now. Dear God, I confess today that I've been afraid to follow you completely. I've been following me, not you. But today, I want to change that. Give me the courage to say yes to you today. Give me the ears to hear from you And then the courage to say yes, despite the fears I feel. Help me to follow when it's hard. You know I'm good at following when it's easy, when there's something in it for me. But help me to follow you no matter what, to say yes to you. Even when everything in the world tells me something else. Because I know you are in control. You're on the throne. And that you love me very much, as you've proven for me on the cross. Thank you that I don't have to live in fear. Lead me today. In Jesus' name, amen.